Our gospel lesson for this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Listen to God's word. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice crying out in the wilderness, make his paths straight. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and honey. The people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him and to all of the region around the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when John saw that many of the Pharisees and Sadducees were coming to him, he cried out, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you that God is able to raise up from these stones children of God. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree that therefore does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is at hand. He will clear his threshing floor and will gather wheat into the granary, but the chaff will burn in unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray, come, Lord Jesus. In this season of preparation, be near us now, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation on our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Picture for yourself this familiar scene. You're bundled up in your winter jacket, your scarf tied tight around your neck, as you approach your favorite store one December afternoon. Barnes & Noble, Target, Best Buy, it doesn't much matter. A man in a fluffy red suit greets you there, ringing a bell, saying, "Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays." He smiles. He catches your eye. Now maybe it's because you've always loved Santa from the time of your childhood and you want to be on the nice list. Maybe it's because the ringing of bells always means that an angel is getting his or her wings. And this season does have a touch of magic that we can't deny. So you reach into your pocket and your wallet and you find some loose change or maybe some loose bills. And you place them in that kettle and you smile. You've done a good deed for the day. And you can go now and complete your Christmas shopping. And now, imagine this familiar scene. You're bundled up in your winter coat. Your scarf is tied tight around your neck as you approach your favorite store, Barnes & Noble, Best Buy, Target, it doesn't matter. A man with a fuzzy beard and fuzzy clothing is standing outside. He's skin and bones, you notice, and you find out later from the local news it's because he eats simply by foraging that which he finds on the land, digging out of garbage cans. Eating bugs and wild honey, some loose berries from some trees. He cries out, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." You cross over to the other side of the street for as long as you can. And as you pull your scarf tighter around your neck, you hear his words. You brood of vipers, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Who warned you to flee this coming wrath? Don't presume to say to yourself, you are children of God, because God can make children from these very stones. You can't help but listen to his words. They ring in your ears as you rush by into the warmth of the store where familiar music plays your favorite carols. You loosen up your scarf and you take a sigh, relieved to finally make it in from the cold. But you're unsettled by his words. You see some fellow shoppers from the parking lot looking for the security guard to say, you might want to ask him to move. It's not very friendly. It's uncomfortable walking in. And indeed, graciously, he is asked to move aside, but you still see this bearded man in his fuzzy suit crying out from across the street. And you can't help as you pull out your Christmas list to wonder, what was that about? Our Advent readings for today do not let us jump into the sentimentality of the Christmas season. In order to get there, we have to first pass John the Baptist. Year A in our lectionary cycle does not give us angels in the sky or shepherds tending to flocks. We do not hear of a virgin named Mary who is called to be the vessel for the Christ child. Nope. This year, we get John the Baptist. His words seem out of place. We expect to be here this Sunday and hear of John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, heralding his birth through a joyful leap in his mother's womb. But instead, we meet a grown-up John crying out in the wilderness, repent, be baptized, the kingdom of God is at hand. He calls us, as he did all those people years ago, to shed their sins, to wash away all that separates us from God, and to receive a new mantle, a mantle of forgiveness, of open-heartedness, of peace. And he cries out in the wilderness, exposing the hypocrisy of unrighteous leaders, saying those strong words, you cannot judge someone by their external appearances, but rather by the fruit they bear. John takes us to uncomfortable places. We can't help but wonder which of his words this Sunday are meant for us. We think about the unrighteous places of our lives, the grudges we carry, the airs we put on, the prejudices we harbor out of righteousness, the greed we mask as necessity. We think about how we throw ourselves into our busy efforts this holiday season and wonder where on earth we can find time to surrender to God. And we think about the ways we hide from God and from ourselves. And we wonder if John is calling out to us. On this second Sunday of Advent, John's words call out to us that it's time to get ready. But he's not passing out his grandma's best cookie recipe. He is not showing us where the tree farm is to cut down the perfect Virginia fir for our decorations this year. He's telling us, yes, now is the time to get ready. It's time to get ready in your hearts to prepare to welcome Christ. He reminds us that the one who was and is to come is not asking for Black Friday sales projections, but asking, what's going on in your hearts? Are you ready to receive the incarnate Christ? And while John's cries disrupt the sentimentality of the season that we love so much, he reorients our intention. He shifts our focus toward Christ and toward the miracle of the season that God in Christ put on flesh, dwelt among us, coming into this world to free us from all that holds us back and holds us down, to free us from our sins and our fears, to free us from the oppression of the systems of this world that push us out of God's grace, to free us from death for life. With Christ, the impossible becomes the possible. Enemies are friends, dividing lines break down, community is authentic, and creation is whole. And John tells us this is the kingdom that's on its way. And he says to us, come on here. It's time to get ready. John Burgess writes, what John and Advent remind us is that repentance is not primarily about our standards of moral conduct or worthiness, but rather about God's desire to realign us to accord with Christ's life. Repentance is not so much about our guilt feelings as about God's power to transform us into Christ's image. For Matthew, John's strange clothes and harsh sayings are necessary aspects of communicating the full meaning of the gospel. Now, while warm and fuzzy feelings at Christmas time are not wrong, they fail to capture the whole picture of what's going on, of what God has done for us in becoming human flesh. We need Advent, and we need John. We need to have things shaken up a little bit, to be challenged to step outside of our comfort zones and our complacency, and to step into this new reality that Christ is ushering in. We need this wake-up call and to receive this invitation so that we might stop and think not only about what lights we'll put on the tree and what gifts we need to get for our uncles, but about our hearts and how ready we are to welcome Christ. It's not easy to follow the words of prophets of any age. The prophetic voice unseats us as much as it inspires us. Prophets do this thing of holding up a mirror that allows for us to see what's going on the inside of our hearts, and also the insides of our systems and the structures of this world that cause harm and animosity and discord. We know that prophetic words are not relegated to Palestinian wilderness prophets millennia ago. We too can know and name contemporary prophets whose words and messages inspire us to shake things up a bit in our own lives and in our world, and who hold that mirror to shine a light on what is wrong within us and this world. As Pastor Randy said, we have joined billions across this world in grieving the death of Nelson Mandela, South African freedom fighter and president. Mandela served to many as one who lived a prophetic life that indeed bore fruits worthy of repentance. He did not do what was easy. He did what he believed was right in the fight against the racist oppression of apartheid. His efforts, ideas, and plans were all in service of an ideal, An ideal that South Africa should not be a racialized nation, but that all South Africans might share equal freedom and equal opportunity under the law. He worked tirelessly for these efforts. He lived his belief, mobilizing the ANC, risking his life, enduring more than 27 years in prison, and being willing to serve as president when elected. He said this work was not about him, but about this ideal. And he said it was about the ideal, an ideal he was prepared to live for, an ideal he hoped to see realized, an ideal for which he was prepared to die. Somehow Mandela could envision a new way of being and could not sit tight with the status quo. The way things were not acceptable when he could so clearly see what was wrong and what good could be. He set aside the gratification of retributive justice and chose to serve alongside his oppressors. He believed in carving a path of reconciliation for all South Africans. He believed that the impossible was possible. He gives voice to these values in a letter he wrote to his ex-wife Winnie from prison long ago. He says this, and to me these words sound a little familiar. In judging our progress as individuals, we tend to concentrate on external factors, such as one's social position, influence and popularity, wealth and standard of education. But internal factors may be even more important, even more crucial in assessing one's development as a human being. Qualities like honesty, sincerity, simplicity, humility, purity, generosity, absence of vanity, readiness to serve your fellow man, and qualities within the reach of every human soul. Brothers and sisters, the voice of the prophet, of John or Mandela, or of any prophetic voice that has cried out to us in between, is a wake-up call. As we hear the uncomfortable voice of the prophet crying out to us from the wilderness places of our own lives, we are called to open our eyes so that we can both notice our need for a Savior, as well as the space for the light of that Savior to reside in our hearts and to radiate out through us. And in the season of preparation, this is what we need to do to get ready. In the midst of tree trimming and cookie baking, we need to pause. We need to listen. We need to look inside and around and into that mirror that the prophet holds up for us in the quiet corners of our homes or the public spaces of our community. And we need to get ready. For it is by God's goodness, through God's mercy and grace, that for which we are getting ready is truly good news. For a Savior will be born in Bethlehem. God, the Word, will put on flesh, dwell among us, taking on our iniquities so that we might know wholeness, so that we might be freed from all that holds us back, from the abundant life to which God calls us, so that we might know peace. So let us heed the hard word of the prophets. Let us shed all that ensnares us, even that which preoccupies us, and cultivate the quality of our hearts. Let us courageously turn away from sin. Let us turn toward the life to which Christ calls, and live into those virtues of honesty and sincerity, simplicity, humility, purity, generosity, absence of vanity, and a readiness to serve others. It's time to get ready. Let's get our hearts ready, for Christ is coming. Amen.
Please pray with me. God of hope, you raised up John the Baptizer as a herald who calls us to repentance. As we joyfully await the glorious coming of Christ, we pray to you for the needs of the church and the world. We lift up to you, Lord God, all who are estranged from family, loved ones, and friends. We pray your reconciliation and restoration. For those who are without the necessities in life, a warm home, nourishing meals, adequate employment, we pray your provision. For those who have lost their way, we pray your guidance. For those sick in body, mind, or spirit, we pray your healing. And for those who have suffered or experienced loss, most especially Libby Parker and her family, we pray your assurance that death is not the final chapter. We pray for those still rebuilding from the ravages of Hurricane Sandy and for those who are living through the destruction of the typhoon in the Philippines. Lord God, we pray your peace wherever war and violence may exist in the world, from the streets of Pittsburgh to the battlefields in foreign lands. And we give you thanks for all the men and women who serve or have served selflessly to protect and preserve freedom throughout the world. Merciful God, we lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving for the life of Nelson Mandela, all that he accomplished by never compromising his convictions and standing for what is righteous, and that having done so, he changed not only his country, but the world. We will forever remember his sacrifice, his commitment, his character, and we celebrate that he now rests from his labor. Loving God, as we prepare ourselves this Advent season, may we remember to always focus on the real reason for the season: the coming of your Son, our Messiah and King, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."